welcome. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show, and today I'm pleased to have Deborah Green. Dr. Deborah Green is an energy health specialist and author of Endless Energy, The Essential Guide to Energy Health. She is the founder and developer of Inner Clarity, which is an integrative balancing method that uses energy kinesiology to pinpoint hidden core beliefs, and also in her book describes a variety of energy-based techniques to facilitate conscious transformation. Deborah is also a co-author with me in Goddess Shift, Women Leading for a Change, and I open the medicine and she closes the medicine section. So that's kind of interesting, isn't it, Deborah?
The perfect bookend.
Really? Well, anyway, So I enjoyed your book. I've been interested in energy techniques for many years and have used them, in my surgical practice and medical practice. And I think your book is got a great introduction as well as different exercises that people can do and different pointing out different things that they need to be aware of. You talk about 4 different bodies in your book. I guess we'll get to those in a minute, but would you like to give our listening audience a little bit of information about yourself first?
Sure. Well, I got interested in things energy because I have always been quite sensitive to energies, and I just assumed that everybody was like this, and I guess we all are to varying degrees, but I tend to be, you know, a little extreme in it. And in an effort to understand my experience with sensing energies, you know, energies from people or in a particular environment, you know, or room, I could kind of sense the feng shui of the room and so forth, I wanted to study this, and so I ended up attending the School of Life first, and that entailed traveling around the world by myself at the ripe old age of 23. Actually, I was 24. It was just after my 24th birthday when I set out, and that's when my sensitivity to energies really became acute, because I was traveling in a lot of countries where I didn't speak the language, and yet I was amazed at how much information I could pick up on. And I'm not psychic. It's just a sensitivity to certain energies, and was a powerful guidance system to me as I traveled around for, you know, 1.5 years as a young woman. And then when I returned to the United States, I wanted to formalize my understanding, so I went back to school, to graduate school, to study these things, which ended up manifesting as a grand total of 2 academic degrees in communication. And it was actually when I was working on my PhD at Ohio State that I started learning about the field of somatics, which has to do with body-mind integration and learning about energies. And then I discovered energy kinesiology or kinesiology muscle testing, and that just completely opened up a whole new world.
Yeah, I'm very thankful for that, because I deal a lot with infected chest walls, and we have to know what sensitivities to treat the infections. And it's better to know that before the surgery than have to wait till after the surgery, where it may or may not grow out. So that's a very practical application.
It is, and it's such a powerful tool for kind of going behind the scenes and being able to communicate with this energy / information from the body-mind system. So anyway, that's a little bit about how I got to all these things.
So,
and from there, yeah, started my practice and started, you know, working with people in a more formalized way.
So you describe 4 different bodies in your book and give exercises to get in touch with those bodies, understanding that there are no definite, like, separations of the bodies, but simply that there are 4 different levels to concentrate on.
Mm-hmm.
And would you like to start a little bit with the physical body and describe what that is, and then go on after that to describe the other bodies? Because most people are familiar with their physical body, but they may not be as familiar with their other higher bodies.
It's true. And the interesting thing about the physical body is that it's not just physical. And this applies to whenever we're talking about something living. So a living person, a living animal, a living plant, whatever is alive has a life force.
Mm-hmm.
And that life force, that vitality component, I refer to as the vital body.
Mm-hmm.
And the vital body is an energy body that is woven into the dense physical body, and it interpenetrates the dense physical body and extends out beyond it for a couple of inches. And this vital body is comprised of our chakra system, you know, which are these major energy centers, and it's also comprised of our meridian system, which are these energy channels. It's like a distribution system through which the energy is distributed throughout our, you know, body-mind system.
Mm-hmm.
And that vital body is what, you know, animates us and gives us vitality and life force and represents the difference between a dead person, a corpse, and
mm-hmm.
a living person, somebody who's vitalized and animate. And so we have to really think about ourselves as not just physical, but, you know,
alive
physical.
Yes, alive physical.
Your
physical body laying dead on the ground, it's still physical
right.
for a while.
Yes.
It rapidly disintegrates, which is interesting, because when that vital energy force leaves, then you have the, you know, the physics of entropy taking over, you know. And,
exactly.
And the insects come in. And, you know, it's just very fascinating how nature deals with that. And you know, really that life force energy keeps all of that away. And yet when you get ill, then you start getting fungus and bacteria and viruses. And so treating the energy body is vital to, you know, to, it's as important as anything. Killing the critters is one thing, but treating the energy body is what we like to do by removing all things that don't belong in it, you know, increasing. I do chakra healing as part of my practice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's critical to understand that even when someone has cancer, I noticed a long time ago, because I have a cancer clinic, that when someone has cancer, there's holes punched in that vital body. It's mm-hmm. like areas of grayness or darkness, and with the corresponding chakra disruption, which is very interesting.
Yes.
There's always a signature of cancer.
And as you said, it's so important to treat the vital body
mm-hmm.
and not just the physical, because if we're only treating the physical, it's very easy for all of the symptoms to simply come back again.
Yeah, with another critter.
Yes. Yes.
I think it was vibrational medicine. I'm not sure, but in vibrational medicine, I think they described the thing of having a dead rabbit out in your yard, and the, you know, you get all these insects and all these things in the dead rabbit, and you kill them off and kill them off and kill them off, but realizing that the rabbit's dead, so it's going to keep attracting all of that. So that was kind of describing traditional medicine versus energy medicine. You know, you had to
yes.
do something to replace the vitality of the rabbit if you were going to keep it from, you know, getting infected and fungusy and having insect infiltrations. And I don't know if you've heard about Morgellons disease, but if you haven't, I'd like you to take a look at it, and maybe we could talk privately later on about your ideas, because this is truly a disease where you have insects, parasites, fungus, bacteria, and viruses all just invading the body.
And is it related to GMO, as I recall?
Yeah, agrobacterium, and there's I interviewed Dr. Staninger, I think, last week on that. No, 2 weeks ago, on the nanotech aspect of that. There's agrobacterium is always found, and then there's energetic things that I've found that are profound. I mean, very profound energetic, I guess what you would call blockages, mm-hmm. That are always the same. I mean, there's like, it's very interesting. So.
Well, that would be a very interesting conversation, and I do touch on it slightly in the
mm-hmm.
book, because one of the things we have to understand about energy and about the energy components of us humans
mm-hmm.
is that we're not just talking about energy here, we're talking about energy that is intimately interlaced with information. It's encoded
right.
with information. And so in the book, I even coined this phrase, energy, I-N-E-R-G-Y,
mm-hmm.
because as a reminder that it's not just force that we're talking
mm-hmm.
about here. We're talking about an intelligent force.
Right.
And it's the information aspect that really has to be paid attention to. And when we start getting into, genetically modified organisms, the information is messed with.
Is it really?
Yeah.
And it has consequences in the physical body.
It has extreme consequences.
When the animals won't eat the corn that's genetically modified, the animals have a lot more intelligence than we do, it appears.
It does appear so, yeah.
I mean, of that intelligence,
yes.
The higher
exactly.
intelligence telling it to, not be around with a tsunami or not
yes.
eat the GMO corn.
Kind of instinctual.
It really is interesting. But, that's part of the, I guess, the spiritual evolution that we're in. We have to break away from kind of that protection and then gain it again. It's almost like you have to, before
yes.
you go into the spiritual kingdom, you have
process.
To gain it again by bringing
by
it
choice.
In consciously rather
yes.
than, the animal doesn't bring it in consciously. The animal just turns away from what the danger is without even knowing. Probably doesn't even think about turning away, probably. Doesn't even, give it a second thought. Just decides. I've seen animals, like, on my way to work, they'll start to cross the street, and then they'll look, and then they'll go back, And I bet they don't even know, except something tells them no, because they're going to get run over.
Yes, it's instinctual.
And then when all those signals get cross-referenced and cross, the wires get crossed, like with all of our, we can talk about this in a minute, all the electromagnetic pollution we have. Probably the animal doesn't know any better and just wanders out into the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They sense it.
Yeah, they do. So you've got the vital body, which you say is inner, it's kind of like a strengthening the physical body. It's interwoven into it.
Yes, it's like the inner scaffolding upon which the physical body is built. And that's another important aspect of the vital body, is that it's actually primary.
It's the blueprint, is that
exactly.
right?
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, and it's also what's called the aura, when you're just reading the aura right next to the body. It's kind of a grayish, it kind of wavers, and it's from my understanding, it's the informational blueprint,
mm-hmm.
and it's extremely important to be able to study this body for the medicine of the future.
Exactly.
I think that this is going to be critical to regrow limbs, to regrow organs maybe. Someone who's got 90% of their liver screwed up, you
mm-hmm.
might be able to take the pattern and regrow the liver with the
And to actually
body.
Be able to create a medicine that is truly preventative.
Mm-hmm.
Because the vital body is the blueprint for the dense physical body, imbalances show up first at the vital body level.
Right,
and
they
if
do.
We can work at that level and correct those mm-hmm. energy imbalances in the vital body, then we can actually be extremely proactive and prevent those imbalances from playing out
mm-hmm.
and manifesting on the dense physical level. So it's very, very important, and it is the medicine of the future. There's no
it really
question
is.
About it.
I can see us studying the vital body to determine how it degenerates in some manner to allow aging to occur.
Well,
because I don't think free radicals are all that is. I don't think it's
not at all.
The physical attacking upward. I think you're not meant to live forever, so there's got to be some sort of a degradation process. That occurs.
Yes.
I mean, it's just, it's reasonable that that would happen. Otherwise, imagine the Earth would not be able to sustain. I mean, if nobody ever died on Earth, we wouldn't be able to move 5 feet without hitting somebody.
Well,
much less feed all those people.
Awfully,
you know?
Crowded, then, wouldn't it?
It really would be, especially recently with the population explosion.
Indeed, but this actually brings up another interesting aspect of the vital body. I mean, one of the unique properties of it is that it is the blueprint for the dense physical. And a second unique property of the vital body is that it's an interface. And that means that it's the go-between between the dense physical body and the higher bodies, meaning the emotional body, the mental body, and what I call the universal body, or, you know, could also probably be called the spiritual body.
Right.
And because the vital body is an interface between those bodies, it very much transmits energy and information from the higher bodies to the lower.
Mm-hmm.
And much of what causes premature aging can be understood as an emotional body issue, a mental body issue, and perhaps even a universal body issue. So it's the playing out of those and the impact of those other bodies, meaning the thoughts we think and the emotions, you know, that we have that impact our aging process tremendously.
Yeah, and if you don't believe that, just take a look at the presidents before their term and after their term.
Indeed. It always happens, doesn't it?
It always does. And
well,
it's not, you know, you would imagine the stress of that job must be really incredible.
Yes.
Even if you have tremendous ego and ambition, it doesn't matter.
Indeed. I think it was Deepak Chopra who shared this story about some research that was done on these individuals who they were all in their upper 70s or early 80s, I believe, and, you know, they were sort of given a battery of tests to, you know, track their physiology, and then they were put into an environment that was every aspect of this environment was from the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, from their youth.
Right.
And they lived in this environment, I mean, right down to the television programs. Like, every single aspect was something from their youth. And they were in the environment for just a couple of weeks, and then they retracked all of these, you know, different aspects of their health, and sure enough, every single one of them showed that they had regressed in age. They'd gotten younger. Just by, you know, being in this environment that was stimulating, you know, we can assume, stimulating different thoughts and emotions and, you know, sort of getting them out of their old person mindset. So anyway, very, very fascinating.
Yeah, and that's why it's important, too, to follow your bliss, so to speak. You know, when you're in love with life, you have these things you get intensely interested in. And there's reasons for that. I mean, there's reasons for that interest. Oftentimes, you can figure out things that you need to know. Oftentimes, it's just to go back to your youth. I mean, if you start, you know, wanting to collect stuffed animals or to, you know, to go and do other things that are kind of childlike, I think that that's probably your body trying to, you know, trying to regain some of what you just spoke about. Maybe not by having your whole environment change, because that's difficult. But, you know, people do get kind of real intense desires to do certain things, like the desire to go to the beach. Well, that's just not to go to the beach. That's probably to get revitalized.
Exactly.
The desire to go to the mountains, you know, that's a different kind of revitalization, but it's a revitalization.
Yes.
And the desire to, you know, go to a, you know, a zoo or whatever, it doesn't really matter. Something to get yourself out of your day-to-day world, to get back into something that maybe you felt you didn't have in your youth. You know, maybe you wanted to go to the zoo but never were able to. Or wanted to go to Disney World, never were able to. Well, going to Disney World now is a great idea. You know, go there and play.
And the biochemical cocktail that gets created when we are, you know, in states of joy and, you know, happiness and excitement and so forth, it's a very different internal environment, and everything tends to thrive and flourish. It's a very high frequency energy, you know, the energy of joy and so forth.
And I'm sure you and I are very similar in that we take care of other people all the time and often don't take care of ourselves, because that seems to be a, you know, a formula for the wounded healer. But, you know, but basically, I think that, you know, I started recently getting massages, which I always had a massage therapist in my office. I just never decided to get them. And now I'm getting them. Do you see? It's like, it's like, no, you've got to pay attention to yourself, because at 55, you know, you didn't pay attention to yourself for, you know, since you were 18. And now you've got to start, you know, you've got to start considering your body's needs, because you didn't before. There's some sequelae of that.
And you know, to take this even further, and, you know, another point that I address in the book is that we ideally want to get to a place where the external environment doesn't matter that much, where I don't have to go to Disneyland or the beach. I can be in that joy state, in that bliss state, whatever you want to name that, that I can be in that state, you know, no matter where I am.
Right. Well, that's, and to walk in meditation is the ultimate goal. But, you know, most people still need to take vacation and need to take time out and actually change their environment. But you're right. The serious meditators can go to the beach in their mind and get the same benefit of the, you know, experience. But it's not everybody's to that point yet.
It's true, and but I wouldn't even say that it's only for the serious meditators. I would say that it is an essential way of thinking for energy health.
Yeah, and you have exercises in your book that help with that too.
Indeed.
Okay, so the vital body, which we can also term the etheric body, is the blueprint for the physical. And so the genes, like the physical genes, really don't hold the blueprint. And that's very well described in vibrational medicine as well. Dr. Richard Gerber, I've interviewed him many times. I thought, when I first read that book, it was interesting. I'd taken 5 months off from my surgical practice, and I heard clairvoyantly that I would meet him, you know, and I haven't met him physically, but I've met him on the phone many times. And I just thought that book was amazing. That was back in the 80s, you know, it just completely
totally
changed
amazing.
My world.
Yes.
And, you know, he practices, I don't know whether you know this, he practices regular internal medicine. He once told me that, because, you know, we have the commercials and everything for Millennium Healthcare on the show, and he said, it must be really amazing to be able to practice this medicine. I said, yeah, it's really neat. He says, well, I don't. You know, I practice regular medicine.
Yeah.
And I went, wow, that's incredible, because he's such a pioneer.
And, he, in my opinion, was a genius.
Oh,
and vibrational medicine is just a seminal contribution to understanding energy medicine. And I don't know if you know it, but Richard Gerber has actually passed. He's made the
transition. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
oh.
Sorry to be the bearer of that sad news. But
I guess I won't have him back on the radio show, huh?
Yeah. Perhaps a different channel on the radio.
Yeah, really. we'll do that show. We'll do that show later on.
Indeed.
Yeah. Oh, no, I didn't know that. Oh,
yes, it's very sad, but I mean, to lose him, you know, physically, because he's just such an amazing person. And
so far ahead of his time.
Yeah, totally.
Incredible.
Totally visionary.
So that, you know, that's where I gained my understanding of the etheric body, was from the studies that he puts in his book, the phantom limb stuff. And there's a lot of proof of the etheric body scientifically, you know, the Carinian photography and all of that. But.
Yes, and actually, you mentioned, you know, how genes are not the true blueprint, and you know, Bruce Lipton has done just an amazing job of helping
really
us understand that, and the whole field of epigenetics,
mm-hmm.
you know, Dawson Church as well, the genie in your genes. And,
I interviewed everybody on the back of your book.
Ocean,
Lipton, and Church. I think they're all wonderful. They really
are.
They are.
Amazing.
Yeah, no, I when I was interviewing Lipton, he said something about that, and it's in his book too, that you wouldn't expect to throw the blueprints onto a vacant lot in the middle of the city and somehow have the building built. I thought that was great.
Yeah,
that was so funny.
Welcome
to
Western
really
medicine.
True. It was through medicine, yeah.
Yes.
But the genes, I think Dawson Church and Bruce Lipton really have investigated the fact that it is the environment. And it's not just the physical environment either, it's the emotional environment. And also, I think the karmic, I believe that even karmic stuff comes in.
Absolutely.
The spiritual body and block certain things from happening.
Yes.
You know, there's certain pathways you're just not allowed to go down. Either for your protection or for your karma, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you're allowed to go down this pathway that I broke my arm, and I knew nothing about it other than my spiritual teacher told me that I was going to be in a car wreck. But, of course, me thinking I'm invincible and bulletproof, I didn't even think that I would get injured in the car wreck. It was like it never entered my head. So I put out the intense thought, no, I don't want to be in the car wreck because I actually like my car. And so instead I fell and broke my arm in my office, and I had to break my arm. I mean, it was absolutely necessary that I slow down because I was trying to get cancer. And in fact, I knew I was trying to get cancer because I'm real sensitive to my energy body. I knew exactly where it was, and
mm-hmm.
other energy intuitives had pointed it out to me. But I couldn't cancel everybody. I had patients booked for months coming in from out of state all over the world, you know. They bought airline tickets. So instead, I fell and broke my arm, and then that way I got out of
it. That way you realized that you could slow down.
And guess what?
Life went on without you.
Yeah, guess where I went to heal twice during that 4 months?
Where?
The Big Island.
Oh, nice.
That was where I was guided to go because it was so grounding and so wonderful. I've not been to Maui,
uh-huh.
but the Big Island where the volcanoes are very interesting. But yes, so that was in my past that was going to happen. You know, that
mm-hmm.
was going to happen some way. It didn't have to be the car wreck. It could be something else. My maintenance guy strung a tripwire up where people walk, and I tripped over it in the dark. I was putting a journal away. I mean, you know, it's just a tripwire.
And it worked.
And it worked because I didn't see it. But anyway, it was interesting. In fact, I was interviewing Colette Baron-Reed, who's taking over for Sylvia Brown, and she said, yeah, you were going to get cancer, so they broke your arm.
Uh-huh.
But she said, but now you don't have it. You're okay.
We get what we need.
She is so, you know, like matter-of-fact about everything. This is. She said silicone implants are going to go back off the market because they're going to react to something in the food supply, you know, and then Dr. Staninger found out that the fibers in Morgellons are silicon and high-density polyethylene. The high-density polyethylene is being spread on the lunch meat.
Mm.
So my patients who were eating lunch meat every day got Morgellons if they had silicon ruptures in their body. So I went, oh, well, that's what that is. But isn't it wonderful that you can get all this information? Now, this information does come from that higher source. You know, that's what they're tapping into, the spiritual, what the spiritual body is connected to, which is very
I would say that different... psychics tap in at different levels,
mm-hmm.
and some tap in merely at the emotional level.
That's
some
true.
Tap
yeah.
in
at the
at
mental,
the mental and,
right.
and so forth.
The really
so,
good yeah. ones, though, go a lot higher. They go into they really do. They bring in your spiritual karmic.
Yes,
and
we just need
life
to be a little discerning.
We do. Yeah.
It's like everything else, you know. Just
that's
because
right.
somebody is psychic doesn't mean that they have a direct connection to the universal.
Right.
And that sometimes is an assumption that people make, and it's a dangerous
yeah.
assumption.
It is, because there's other energies out there that can
absolutely
transmit information that is not exactly accurate, that
yes.
if you act upon could not exactly be good for you.
Yeah.
But the best thing is
for distortion.
Yeah, the best thing is just simply to develop it for yourself through meditation and other spiritual practices. And then use, I'm a big believer in confirmation, though, especially when you're trying to read for yourself, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all need to be a little
yes.
careful about being our own clairvoyant.
Yes, well, it's all, it's all kind of new territory, and you know, one of my intentions in writing the book was to help people understand these different channels and different energy influences so that they can be a little bit more, you know, savvy and discerning with their own energies and what they're, you know, getting from others as well. So,
well, let's talk a little bit about the emotional body. A lot of people know that their emotions do affect their health. You talk in the book about when you get upset, some people get headaches, other people get stomach aches, other people get... It's almost like whatever chakra is going to be affected the most, that part of the body can be affected. And I guess the first thing is just becoming aware that there's a connection.
Yes, and the emotional body not only impacts the physical, the vital physical body, but it also impacts the mental body, because it's the next higher vibratory frequency band, you know, in our energy constitution. And the human energy constitution, these, you know, dimensions that I'm talking about, the vital physical body, the emotional body, mental body, and universal body, they represent a continuum. And so the lower frequency body is the dense physical, the vital body, which interfaces with the physical, kind of two sides of the same coin there. That's the next, you know, little spectrum. And then the next higher octave is the emotional body, which is sometimes also referred to as the astral body. Those terms are used interchangeably. And the emotional body, in general, it tends to be quite active, and it's a more raw energy. It's quite a force, and not only impacts the physical, but also, as I said, it can affect our mental body and sort of scramble our thinking if we're very emotionally activated. I'm sure a lot of people have experienced that aspect of it as well. And yeah, it's kind of like a raw high voltage power station.
I want to give our listeners an example of that. I was, I guess, a couple of years ago, I had some, you know, a series of not so pleasant things happen in my life. So one morning, I just put out this vault of energy, emotional energy. I just want something nice to happen. Okay, like that. Well, later that day, they called and said that I'd won lunch for 35 people.
You go. That's great. Way to manifest.
You know, well, you know, it's funny, but I manifest very, very quickly when I get into that intense, you know, just, it's almost an irritated state. But it's like it builds and builds and builds and builds, and then bam. And then, boy, it's like within 24 hours it manifests. It's really neat. And
it is, but hopefully we don't have to get irritated.
Well, you don't. But I was trying to say it is a high voltage, and it's almost like a lightning bolt. You know, it charges and charges and charges and charges, and then when it dispels, it can create very quickly. Is the point. I think normally we create a lot slower. You know, normally we do not have such intense energy outputs into the physical world. I'll tell you one thing that's interesting. I had a little thing, I've had these little things with manifestations for a while, but one of the weird ones was I was in my office trying to label things, and I realized that I needed a metal engraver, okay, and I didn't have one, so that little bolt of energy went out, and then within 2 days, somebody mailed me a free metal engraver. That is so weird.
That is amazing.
That is so weird. And that really begins to make me wonder what's really going on. Like, it's like, what, how did that happen?
Yes, well,
it came in the mail. Well, here it is. Good. I got one.
You asked, you shall receive.
Well, it's more than ask. It's almost like
a demand.
I need this, you know, with that, but not just the thought that voltage of energy behind the thought. And I've used it in surgery, too, when people are dying on me, you know, mm-hmm. like in surgery when they're bleeding to death. Mm-hmm. I use that. I had a patient whose half of a face was taken off by a drunk driver, and he was bleeding and bleeding and bleeding, and I used that. I said, is this guy supposed to die or what? And then massive amounts of information came in to tell me how to keep him from bleeding to death, which was rather complex. It wasn't real simple,
mm-hmm.
yet it worked. So
yes.
That, I mean, people, when you're in a situation, sometimes getting that, like, I need this now, and then it'll come in very quickly. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's almost like a command to the universe, like, I'm not waiting in line for this. I need it now.
Yes, and it's, I think we have to understand it in the context of the other bodies as well, because it's the emotional juice or charge, but it also is in combination with a very clear intention.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And the intentionality piece is a mental body tempering of the emotional body. I mean,
mm-hmm.
there's plenty of examples, you know, where people just have raw emotional energy and it's not directed toward anything.
Well, that
know,
can be damaging
or
to the physical body.
Absolutely.
That's not what you want to do.
And damaging to relationships
you
know, all kinds of things.
Car wreck,
so,
you know, but getting upset at your car and having it not work. I used to treat lots and lots of patients in the ER after car accidents, and one of the things that they always related to me that they were cursing their car. I go, don't do that. Don't curse your car.
Yes, and then we wonder why it
please
doesn't
don't
work.
Curse your car.
You know? Cars have feelings too.
Yeah, like, I'll show you. Bam.
Yeah.
Well.
So yes, so we understanding. I mean, it's a really good example of understanding the emotional body potency mm-hmm. along with bringing in the intentionality piece of
mm-hmm.
the mental body, and then you can really do things. And to take it even further, imagine, to quote John Lennon, if all of us, tapped into our emotional energy tempered with our mental intentionality for, world peace or, whatever, for
mm-hmm.
something that could really help all of humanity. I mean, imagine if we all got together in that kind of a, unified force field, and it would be quite something.
I think that's going to happen. I think that's probably on the schedule.
Yes.
Because there is prophecy.
I'm signing
we
up
will
for
have
that
world
too,
peace.
Yes.
Yeah. Or at least part of the consciousness is going toward that, and
yes.
and part of the consciousness may not be, but
but
it certainly is. What I tell people is, how do you think you're going to get to world peace? Do you really think that all of the consciousness can go there?
Yeah.
It's probably not true. Probably part of the consciousness will split off and continue to be whatever agenda they're doing with war and conflict. And
yeah. Well, and, we're talking about how potent this emotional body is.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, in the book I talk about the emotional body. For most people, it tends to be either overweight or underweight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a metaphor, of course, because we're talking about an energy body. It doesn't really have mass or weight. But it's interesting to think about one's own emotional body. Is mine
mm-hmm.
overweight? Is it underweight? And either way, there's problems that are bound to supervene because the energy is so strong and it needs to be dealt with. And if it's not properly dealt with, then we can end up with these problems, because the energy's got to go somewhere. And in the book I talk about putting your emotional body on a diet and
mm-hmm.
what you can feed it, to help it be more healthy and proportionate. And if it's emaciated, then I talk about how to, nourish
it
and nurture it to, bulk up.
Bulk up, yeah. Well, I've done gastric bypass for years, and then, of course, as a plastic surgeon, I did a lot of this in the military. Then we did the plastic surgery to treat the effects of the gastric bypass. And some of my patients had lost 200 pounds. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Usually between 100 and 200 pounds. And when they were overweight, you could see in some of the patients, especially the ones that didn't eat very much, how just what you talked about. That somehow their energy body kept their physical body very much overweight in order to keep people away.
Yeah.
Because they were afraid of getting hurt or they'd been hurt in the past. And then that was an important part to heal, because if you didn't, sometimes the surgeries would fail. You know, they just wouldn't. You're really only in a gastric bypass treating intake. You know, you're making a little pouch in the case of a stomach stapling or a Roux-en-Y. You're rerouting the going around the stomach, so to speak. So if you don't completely understand what's going on energetically, then you can get failure. And I remember I even had to counsel the husbands, because a lot of the husbands had married overweight women on purpose. And I actually talked to both couples saying that, you know, when she goes back down to, you know, 120 pounds, some problem may occur in your relationship. Interesting, huh?
It is.
That shows the holistic, and a lot of the husbands left the wives when they got to dinner.
Interesting.
Because they somehow, in their psyche, wanted, and that's mental, I'm sure, wanted to be with a woman that could, would never leave them, or, you know, they were attracted to that body type for some reason.
Yeah.
But I learned a lot about psychology and plastic surgery. It was fun.
I'm sure. Yeah.
It really
and
was.
I would say it's probably not just mental, but combination of mental and emotional, and perhaps could even be, you know, something from the universal in terms of karma, as you mentioned earlier.
And what's interesting, when I've done this radio show for about 17 years, and I had a TV show for 6 years, and I've interviewed a lot of people like Deepak Chopra and Andrew Weil, and most of them have said to me something very interesting. They said, do you know that the thing that influenced me first was a book by a plastic surgeon, Psycho-Cybernetics. That was actually written by a plastic surgeon. Isn't that interesting? And then that went on to influence the people who we think is, you know, the giants in spiritual medicine. But they actually said that. They said, did you know that the first person to really put this in my mind was Maxwell of Psycho-Cybernetics? He observed the same thing. He said he'd do a rhinoplasty on one person and it would change their life. And he'd do a rhinoplasty on another person, and nothing would happen, and they would accuse him of not having done the surgery, even though he had the pre- and post-op pictures to prove he did the same operation.
Yeah.
I mean, think
we
about
can't
that.
Just
isn't that interesting?
The physical, yeah.
Yeah, that's
it
right.
It all hangs together.
Yeah. So given that we need healthy and not overweight or underweight emotional bodies, and also we need to become more the observer so that our emotions don't take us over.
Yes.
We also need to understand we have filters. Some people have the filter of the victim, for example, and they go around victimizing everybody else. It's really funny. You know, it's like they're always the victim, but in actuality, if you look at what they're doing, they're victimizing everybody around them.
Yes.
So
well,
we have these
two sides to that.
Right. We have these emotions, and I guess even that would be the archetypal stuff, which actually is above in the higher mental body that is coming through the emotions. But you have some very good exercises in your book for looking at that and looking at the emotional and trying to get it to calm back down to where it's reasonable and appropriate.
Yes, because we don't want to suppress our emotions.
Oh, you'll get physical disease.
Yeah. We also don't want to indulge them. You know, because that's equally unhealthy.
Become a drama queen?
Exactly.
You don't
and
have
that's
any
what we tend to do. You know, we overindulge and then we suppress. And, you know, and it's neither one of those is the answer.
I think it's an addiction in some people.
Yes.
I think that if they're not stirring it up, they're bored.
Yeah, well, and perhaps also become addicted to the biochemical cocktail that gets created
with
those
certainly.
Kinds of, you know, emotional state.
Yeah, that's some what the bleep do you know that, or do we know that biochemical cocktail was actually demonstrated on that. And you know, some people, when they, you describe in your book, I remember this from reading it, that you can tell when people are overindulging because everybody else's life becomes like theirs, and they think about it, and they, you know, they're wondering, it becomes very personal to them when actually it's not their life at all. And so that's like someone who's addicted to the emotional drama when all of a sudden you're trying to figure out everybody else's life.
Yeah,
so that's a sign.
you're trying to fix everyone else, and all of your attention is going to rescuing others and
right.
being obsessed with what's going on with them. Yes, that is a sure sign of an obese emotional body.
There was an interesting study. I don't know whether you're aware of this, but they did a study with AIDS patients before the protease inhibitors came out, and there was only one question out of 50 that differentiated survivors from non-survivors. And the question was, would you help someone who didn't ask for it? And all the people that died said yes, and the people that lived said no. Now, that's very important in conservation of energy. Think about
yes.
that. Isn't that a neat study?
Yes, and
it really is, because AIDS requires a huge amount of spiritual energy to heal that immune system, and then because it is immunity, energy and immunity are massively linked. That's what we found in medicine.
Yes,
they really are. If your immune system's down, your energy's down.
Yes, and it also reminds me of, in the book I talk about our internal senses.
Mm-hmm.
So we have these external senses of seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, tasting. But in addition to those senses that orient us to the external world, we also have internal senses, and one of them is attention. What do you pay attention to?
Right.
And if you're habitually, chronically putting your attention, out there onto other people and your involvement in their lives, and you're tied up, caught up in their
lives. Especially without them asking.
Especially
that's a key point. I mean, if somebody asks for your help, it's different.
Yes.
That's very different.
Then there's not a lot of attention, your attention going into you.
Right.
So, there's nobody home. And yes, it does. These internal senses are very important to our energy health, as you said. Very important.
Now let's go into the mental body. I'm sure you've read Barbara Brennan's book where she has the thought form that's out of sync, that I'm better than everybody. And that's in the mental plane. But in the emotional plane, they go up and down, up and down. I'm better than everybody. I'm worse than everybody.
Yes.
I'm better. And then it settles in the solar plexus because, again, you can energetically follow these to the chakra. And then they develop stomach ulcers, solar plexus problems. So basically, that is a great demonstration of what an aberrant thought form can do to your physical body, how it cascades down. And that's really what spiritual medicine is all about is, the spiritual part is when you go to the higher bodies and then you get the karmic and the soul contracts and that kind of thing that come in and cause blockages like we talked to before.
Mm-hmm.
But the majority, I think that you have to consider all of them though. I mean, you consider the physical body because you can eat the wrong foods. You can, use your cell phone all the time. You do a great job in your book talking about that. I interviewed Dr. Carlo, who did all the research on cell phones. So, his book's great, too.
Yeah.
But the mental is probably one of our greatest problems in the world is people thinking that they're better than others, that they're somehow, that other people are not human. That led to a lot of wars and a lot of a lot of suffering. And then that led to a lot of karma. So, that was kind of like the abnormal mental thoughts that somehow that aren't right, they're just not correct, then lead to actions that then lead to karma, and then that leads to further suffering until you learn that, well, maybe those thoughts weren't right. So it's a self-correcting system if you look on the long term. That's kind of interesting, mentally, I guess the big thing mentally is to study, what our religious and spiritual leaders are teaching us to try to practice mindfulness and.
Well, actually, I would say the big thing to study mentally is to study your own thoughts.
Right. Yeah.
Most of us do not do that. And we just have this constant stream of thoughts running through our head without really being aware or paying attention to what they are. And it's very important to study your own thoughts and to get a sense of your mental content, what is going on inside your head. And I spend quite a bit of time in the book, describing thoughts and how thoughts work energetically, and that from the perspective of subtle energy, thoughts are things, and they actually, you know, if we could see them, we would see that they have form and shape and so forth, and that they do travel, you know, through space-time, and they do have a lot of impact, and impact on our health, as well as impact on other people and, you know, the planet in general. But so it really, it's very, very powerful aspect of energy health is to become aware of our thoughts.
And also to understand that, you know, you don't always have to be thinking. In fact, if you meditate long enough, you probably will go into states where you just are receiving information rather than transmitting it. And I realized I was doing that when a friend of mine used to come and always kind of bug me with the question, what are you thinking? And I would realize I wasn't thinking at all. I mean, I was just being. I was just, you know, I had no thoughts whatsoever. But I didn't know that until he asked me the question. You know, like I wasn't watching myself, not thinking. But many of the, you know, the spiritual teachers say that, you know, the ultimate goal is to just be on receiving all the time, receiving from the higher levels, and not really on commenting on things that are just judgmental. You know, your mind chatter is often just judging things. And
yes. And in the book, I talk about these, in our mental body, there's actually two aspects of it. We have like a lower mental aspect, which is the more judgmental, kind of concrete, you know, mind. And then we have this conceptual aspect to our mental body that is much more
useful.
Yes, I didn't want to get judgmental about it, but
it directs our attention more, which is probably where it needs to be directed for safety, for learning, for our own spiritual development. Well, unfortunately, we're coming up to the end of the hour. Is there any contact information that you'd like to give the audience?
Well, I would like to share my website, which is joyfulenergy.com, and on the website, you can find all kinds of fun things like free audio downloads of facilitated exercises from the book. And there's also, you can join an intent group. And I also have sessions that I offer, you know, phone sessions. And, of course, you can buy the book also on the website.
Right.
And there's all kinds of articles and other information. So visit me in cyberspace or visit me on Maui.
Great. There you go. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. We've been interviewing Dr. Deborah Green, her book, Endless Energy, The Essential Guide to Energy Health, a book that everybody who is interested in feeling better and their spiritual development, as well as just having more energy, which I think all of us would like right now, anyway, I highly recommend her book. Next week, we were going to be interviewing Dr. George Aide on curing the incurable with holistic medicine, but he's dropped out of cyberspace, so to speak. So we're going to be interviewing the DVD, people who did the DVD called The Living Matrix. And then on the 22nd, we're going to be interviewing Dr. Amit Goswami on his DVD, The Quantum Activist. And then on the 29th, Paul Rademacher, A Spiritual Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe, Travel Tips for the Spiritually Perplexed, which was a cute book.
What a great lineup.
Isn't that a good lineup? We have Noetic Science Meeting every third Thursday. Shirley Chambers will be speaking about the Fifth Kingdom, a kingdom whose time has come. Shirley runs the Kabbalah Center here. This is at 7:15 at the Dunwoody office. And then Dr. Gould, our family practice doctor, is discussing an easy, convenient, and affordable way to balance your body at the Millennium Healthcare Wellness event. See if we have anything else right now. I think that's about it for May. Join us for Temple of Health Radio Show from noon to 1 on Saturdays, or go to www.plasticus.com under Resources and Radio, or as someone pointed out to me the other day, you can just Google Temple of Health Radio Show and go right to it, which is wonderful about Google, and listen to previous interviews for probably several years. We've got several years of interviews up. Anyway, Deborah, thank you very much for joining us. I guess are you in Maui now?
Yes.
So you got up really early.
I got up early.
You did? Well, we appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
And if I ever come back to Hawaii, I'll look you up.
Please do. That would be awesome. I would love to get together here.
Great, great. Well, this is Dr. Susan Kalb with Temple of Health Radio Show. We'll be joining you next week.